Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know Jesus Christ is alive. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I threw all of you, didn't I? Yes, I did, because it is Easter Sunday and he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
And to that we say God is good.
All the time.
And we also know, believe, and hold, and I proclaim it every week, and it should be proclaimed every week from this pulpit, no matter who is in it, that we are here with the three commands of Jesus Christ, for in them all of the scriptures are wrapped up, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, that we are to love God, love others, and go. Can I get an amen out of the church? And to that we give ourselves, for the word of life is where we find life, and that word is Jesus the Christ. Open your Bibles to chapter 20 in the book of John. Chapter 20 in the book of John. We all know why we're here today. We definitely plan to be here because we know that this is Resurrection Sunday, and the scripture that I'm going to read to you, that you're going to be looking at as I'm reading, is the scripture that is most often read. And I cannot go through this day without reading this very scripture, because it is the truth that we all live by and know and have our being. From the 20th chapter of the book of John, beginning in verse 1, it says to us, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have taken him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first, and stooped and looked in. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so she wept. She stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he said these things to her. So when it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord." He is risen. So many times you will hear a sermon on Easter Sunday about the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. and just how important the resurrection is. And we all know how important it is. Can I get an amen out of the church? But today I'm going to challenge you with something a little bit different, because do we know what Jesus really did for us? Do we have any idea what took place? We read the words, but do we put the thoughts together? And do we see what God has done? And in many cases, I have to say no. I was a Christian for years before I understood what happened on the cross. And today I'm going to teach you what the Lord taught me some 15 years ago. Yeah, I was a pastor for 10 years before I understood this. So today, I pray that if you've never heard this before, that you will understand. Now, I'm going to read a whole lot of scripture, but I'm not going to have you follow in your Bibles, because I'm not reading it out of the scriptures in the way that it's written. I have rewritten it chronologically as to how the things transpired on the day that Christ was crucified. So I've got the Gospel of John, I've got the Gospel of Matthew, I've got the Gospel of Mark, and I've got the Gospel of Luke, all interwoven here to give us a chronological look at what happened the day Christ died. So if you would, tune your heart to the Word of Life. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, the King of the Jews," and they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." He had to say, "Here is the man," because he could not be recognized from the flogging and the beating that had taken place. The beard hairs were pulled from his face. The crown of thorns crushed down upon his head. Bleeding profusely, his body was beaten almost to the point of death. Flesh ripped from his back, his sides, his front. Every portion of him had been violated, and he was unrecognizable. And Pilate had to tell them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Pilate again brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement. It was a day of preparation of Passover, and it was nearing unto the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "I shall crucify your king," Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, he was crucified along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus, looking up into heaven, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." When the soldiers crucified Christ, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, but with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The people watching and the rulers even sneering at him, and they said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, the chosen one, let him come down from the cross." The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine vinegar. And they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We were punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then Jesus, he looked, and the second man said unto him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him and said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun had stopped shining. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Knowing that all was now completed, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, on the ninth hour, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. An earthquake shook the temple and all the land, and the rocks split open, and the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Thus be the setting of the death of our Savior. We glory in the cross. We glory in the cross. But do we understand the cross? Why do we glory in the cross? Because the payment of our sin was made upon that cross. But what does the cross mean? Why did Jesus have to die in such a manner? Why did this have to happen? Why such a horrible day? Why couldn't it have been something else? You see, one of the things we all need to remember is God leaves no stone unturned. And in order to forgive all sin, God had to go back and forgive original sin. For from that sin, all sin came. And if that sin were not the one that were covered, none of the other sins could be. But if that sin is removed, then all sin that sprang from it is dead in an eternal sacrifice. For once that sin is covered, it is finished. So why did Christ have to die the way he did? Why the cross? The first sin was an act of disobedience, the taking from a tree. Jesus redeemed us by going back on the tree. Jesus reconciled us once again to the Father, making right that first indignation. For where we sinned, holiness spoke a blessing. Why were his hands pierced with nails? Because our hands took from that tree. Our hands pulled it down. We had a work in it. Yes, Eve was deceived, but we took of it. How many of us take even this day? So Christ's hands were pierced to pay the price of our sin and to redeem us and reconcile us back unto God. Why was his side pierced with a lance? Because Eve, the one who was taken from his side, led Adam into sin, and Adam sinned. So therefore, Christ needed to redeem woman as well, not just man. So therefore, from his side, he poured out blood and water to redeem Eve and to bring the forgiveness that she needed and the reconciliation of the mother of us all. Why were his feet pierced? Because Satan was so stupid. What was the first thing that God cursed Satan with? He shall bruise your head with his heel. You shall bruise his heel, but he shall crush your head. We need to understand Satan looked at that in a very physical way, that if he could kill Christ, he's going to nail his feet to the cross. How are you going to crush my head? But you see, Satan didn't understand. He was mocking God, and God says, I shall not be mocked. Because it was not the physical Christ who was going to crush him. It was the divine Christ who was going to crush him. And where did he crush him? The moment his foot touched down, in hell, because then he was defeated. Then he saw the glory of the Lord. Because remember, until that point in time, the only people that went into hell were dead people. Jesus Christ is alive forever. Can I get an amen? For he is God Most High, and hell could not hold him. And when he touched hell and deposited our sin, and the glory of the Lord shone, the resurrection was sure, because hell cannot hold God. Can I get an amen from the church? And when we think of what Christ has done, why the crown of thorns? Why the crown of thorns? Did not God say, cursed be the ground, it shall produce for you thorns and thistles? Jesus could not miss anything. He took not only our sin, but the sin of the world, the sin of creation upon himself, that he took that punishment upon himself. He took the thorns and the thistles. He is our propitiation. He is our payment. He is our righteous God, and he is alive this day in this house, in each and every life that I am looking at this moment. You are alive because Christ went back. And he covered it all by covering the fullness of the first sin and canceling the debt that each and every one of us added to it. If he would not have canceled the first debt, no debt could be paid. Why the cross? Because God loved us so much that in the fullness of time, he went back, and only he can, because he is God and God alone. He is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen out of the church? So is it full? Is it complete? Can we be sure? Can we be sure? Many people have said, how can you know? How can you know? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Yes. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. The word here, and oh, how I love this word. The word here is tetelestai. It's a Greek word. Tetelestai. It means it is finished in the English. But in the Greek, it has three meanings. Isn't that amazing? We serve a triune God. Amen. And God uses a word here that has three meanings, because he wants us to understand what's going on when he spoke those words. Because in the Greek, this word has three contexts. The first context is a business context. It is written on the bottom of a receipt, on the bottom of a contract, on the bottom of a covenant, that when that covenant's debt has been fully paid, tetelestai, it is fully paid. There is nothing more to add to it. Nothing can be taken away. It is remunerated in full. Done. The second meaning is a judicial context. And in a court, when a sentence was fully served and satisfied completely, it was said, tetelestai. There was nothing more to give. The payment was made. The sentence has been cleared. There is now nothing that stands before us. That is why it says in the scriptures that as we are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation, because it is finished, done. And the third context is a military context. And the meaning is that the battle has been won and the victory was complete. The enemy has been vanquished. They are no more. That is the only way that a battle is completely won, is if the enemy is wiped out entirely, is no more. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did when he went into hell. He won the spiritual battle over sin. He won the spiritual battle over Satan. He won the spiritual battle over death. And now we are completely free in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, "It is finished." We have been reconciled. We have been redeemed. And we now stand in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you leave here this day, I want you to understand, and yes, I'm getting loud because you know my spirit is in me, and I'm telling you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you have believed upon him, it is done. Stop going back to the grave because he ain't there. Can I get an amen out of the church? Amen. It is finished. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has risen today. Alleluia. 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 Pray with me, dear people. Oh, Father God, how can we even begin to understand? We are a wretch. And you have given it all. You've gone back in time and you've restored everything, putting everything back to the initial set and bringing us forward in the newness of life. For Lord God, this new life is truly ours if we'll take a hold of it. The debt has been paid, the judgment has been settled, and the battle is won. Oh, you have said that you have come to those who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. Lord, may we rest. May we rest assured that our place in heaven is set through the sacrifice of your Son. And Lord, to every person here or out there in the internet land that's listening this day, if you don't know that salvation, if you don't know that hope, you can know it this day by claiming, knowing, understanding that Jesus is the Christ and that he has paid your debt. You must receive that yourself and repent of your own sin and walk with him the rest of your life. I pray that you will pray even now, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. Wash over me and make me whole and wholly thine. In thy precious name, O Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.